Tracy Maxfield, she is a 35-plus year nurse with dementia care. Vast experience in this, and she calls in once a month from British Columbia to give us some tips and advice on how to deal with specific issues with dementia patients. This is the topic we have today, dementia patients and eating.
Very, very big issue. So the challenge is twofold. First of all, as you get older, there are automatically changes that are going to take place in your senses that may compromise your ability to eat. So, for example, you start losing the cells in the olfactory bulbs of the brain, and there's a decrease in the sensory cells in your nasal lining, so your sense of smell is impacted. And then you have atrophy of your taste buds and a reduction in your saliva in the mouth. And so as that changes, it affects the insulin in the brain, and that changes your appetite. So that is actually common as you get older. With a dementia, that is actually heightened significantly. And interestingly, I'm sure you've heard that lots of research studies are now saying that an impaired sense of smell is one of the earliest signs that you could have Alzheimer's disease. And they are starting to work on that. There's apparently 9 specific smells that they can test. So you already have the challenge with the decrease in your sense of smell, and then your taste buds aren't working as well as you like, and food tastes bland, and so they will tend to overuse spicy or sweet or salty without understanding, because they're trying to get flavor. With dementia, the second type of issue that we're going to have is, especially if they're getting into the middle stages, you have to ask yourself, is there refusal to eat because they're depressed, or is it that they're actually not feeling well? Could they be constipated? Those are huge contributory factors to why there is a change in their appetite. If your answer is actually no, everything seems fine, then it's just the changes that are coming because of the dementia. And in order to help support them, there's a number of little strategies that the caregivers can start using to help the person maintain their independence but still encourage them to eat. And so the first thing is you really want to make sure that you have no distractions. So you want a quiet environment or maybe some nice background music playing. You want to be there with the person because it's supposed to be a social engagement. So just sitting them down on their own is going to make them feel very isolated. Another thing is you want to cut up the food. Now, lots of people, especially as they start getting into the middle stages, do have difficulty chewing and swallowing. And certainly by the time you get into the advanced dementia, inevitably you will need to be fed. And at that point, it's a very pureed type of soft diet. But before you even maybe transition to that stage of care, caregivers may find, because of the decreased ability to swallow, or maybe their loved one spits food out or pockets food, they may have to change the diet. So you want to have small, easy-to-eat pieces. You also want to make sure that they can actually see the plate. So you want to have a contrast. Don't put a white plate on a white tablecloth. You want to really try and put a white plate on a colored tablecloth so they can distinguish.
I would have never even thought of that.
No, I need this for me. Because I can't find my face with a fork sometimes.
Well, clearly I have.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I'm writing all these things down, Tracy.
The other thing is, of course, you want to make sure that they're comfortable when they sit down for their meal. And do they have their glasses in? Do they have their hearing aid? Have they actually got their teeth in? If they're still having difficulty chewing or they appear uncomfortable, dental care, and people don't realize this, oral and dental care is so important in the older person, but especially so with the person with dementia, because they may not be able to identify that they've lost a fill-in or they've got a little abscess. And one of the first signs is you'll notice that they'll try to chew food and they may wince or they may seem a little agitated, but routinely they'll pull it out and sometimes they'll pull their dentures out and they'll put them down on the plate and then they just close their mouths tightly and they won't eat. So dental care is very important, and lots of dentists are actually now doing dementia care training so they can assist the caregivers and the person when they come in, which is awesome. Another thing you want to remember is lots of finger foods. As much as we hate to have to feed them, sometimes it's inevitable, but if you have finger foods, like small sandwiches, pieces of fruit, vegetables that they can pick up and eat, they always like to have something in their hands. If you're feeding someone and they're trying to push the plate away or try to take the spoon away, put something in their hands, like a little pressure ball or something. They'd like to eat something that just occupies their hands so they won't become distracted and push that automatic response of something away from the lips. Also consider a spoon instead of a fork if they just can't get the food on the fork. And there's other little strategies like cups with lids to avoid spillage. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and get a sippy cup, which the children used to have.
Well, John and I use that too.
But there's so many great adapted food plates and utensils that they've actually made for people with arthritis and Parkinson's, which you can use just as effectively for people with dementia. So it gives
I've seen those things, Tracy. John, I don't know if you've ever seen them or not, but they got wonderful ergonomic and all kinds of eating utensils for people with severe arthritis and so forth that are just much easier to deal with.
Well, I saw a thing from MIT recently that was a spoon that was designed for people with Parkinson's disease. And it has a bunch of gyros in it that it absolutely stabilizes the entire
time.
It's
so
fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. See, you know, we've never had this vast population with this aging baby boomer population. So look at all the inventions that are coming up. It's developing its own cottage industry around it. So, all right. Well, Tracy, I've got 8 things here you've listed. What else? I've got spoon instead of fork. That was the last one we left off with.
And so, as John was saying, ergonomic plates. Sometimes you can get them with a non-slip at the bottom. So if they're messing with the plate, they're not going to push everything off. You can also have them with a slightly raised lip. And so that means if they are still feeding themselves and they push the food against the side, they're not going to knock the food off onto the tablecloth. The lip will help them get traction and then they can lift the spoon up to their mouth. And so I think the important thing for families and caregivers to remember is even if the utensil doesn't say full dementia, for Parkinson's, for arthritis, it will work for the person with dementia because the aim is to safely get food from one source, the plate or the bowl, into the mouth without dropping, without spilling, and comfortable. So there's nothing that's going to be hard or pointy like a fork prong that could actually stick if they miss and hit the lip.
And without drama. You know,
exactly.
Because there's a lot of drama in moments like that. There's too many people that have been struggling with that, and they'll pitch the plate over or whatever, and it turns into just drama. And so you've once again, Tracy, you've stepped up and demonstrated brilliance in the face of non-brilliance, and that's with me here. But this is these are wonderful tips, let me read through them again. Okay, no distraction. I was reading my own writing here. Cut up the food,
mm-hmm.
Color contrast with the plate and so forth, and be social, be present, and have social engagements. Make sure they have their glasses, hearing aid, or teeth in. Make sure they've had proper oral and dental care. Lots of finger food, spoon instead of fork, or ergonomic plates and utensils.
Yeah.
And yeah. Can do you have one more to make it an even 10?
Make it an even 10. Well, the first thing is don't rush them. And if you're concerned that you don't feel that they're eating enough, consider some oral supplements like the Ensure as a snack in between. Try and think of small meals, three small meals, but with snacks in between. They can still get all the nutrients they need throughout the day without having to face one big meal and then really not finishing it. Caregivers panic, think, oh no, they're not getting the nutrients, they're losing weight. So look at some oral supplements like Ensure, or you can get like high-protein yogurts now, desserts. Lots of different things that can still give them calories, and protein is very important with some fiber. If that's an issue and they're still, you feel, losing weight, then you need to see your doctor and a dietitian maybe to get some medical supplements. And possibly some
occupational therapy help in learning how to swallow it properly and so forth, I guess, huh?
Absolutely, and especially when you're noticing the feet that you have to now assist the person with dementia to eat their meal, that is when the doctor and the speech therapist and the dietitian need to work with you all as a team to help support the person, because he or she will not be able to tell you what their needs are. You have to identify how best you can keep them safe. And
we got to play detective on that, don't we? Hey, well, listen, Tracy, we've got to go to a break. TracyMaxfield.com, TracyMaxfield.com, and that's Tracy with an E, T-R-A-C-E-Y. Thank you so much, and I look forward to next month.
My pleasure.
All righty. Thank you so much. Our Canadian caregiver correspondent, Tracy Maxfield, bringing us wonderful stuff. There's more to follow. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and I'm Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.